And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake.
The past few weeks, you'd get the idea around here that the Sermon on the Mount is pretty important, pretty powerful. She's very tall, been described as majestic, as beautiful, awe-inspiring, a symbol of hope, this lady. As a light representing liberty to a dark world, her message of good news calls out, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses to yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." The Statue of Liberty enlightening the world, many of us know from our history books, was a gift of friendship from the French people. From the people of France to the United States in recognition of our centennial. It has become, I think, for many, we know for many, a historical, universal symbol of liberty. It was dedicated October 28, 1886. It currently stands, as always, on Ellis Island in New York Harbor. From 1892 to 1954, literally millions of immigrants seeking the opportunity of a better life in the New World entered the United States through the portal of Ellis Island. They did so believing that becoming a citizen of the United States of America was perhaps one of the greatest blessings one could obtain. Those who yearned for liberty, not everyone, but those who had that inward yearning for liberty, recognized that as a symbol of hope. And during the 1800s, and then later intensifying after the turn of the century, because of ensuing political instability, restrictions on the free exercise of religion and deteriorating economic conditions in Europe, began to fuel what was then the largest mass human migration in the history of the world. And those of us who are citizens of the United States today, through birth or through going through an immigration process, share that history, to varying degrees, share in the love and the recognition of the principles upon which this nation was founded. There had been much history, thousands of years of human history. Nations had come and gone, and a new nation came into existence based on principles that were different than the way many nations had been ruled. A recognition that there was a new birth. People came to this land leaving their homes at great sacrifice, taking great risk, initially because of a yearning to have the liberty to go to the Bible and to worship God as they understood, to flee the oppression, the religious oppression, seeking a new place in which their lives could be, in a sense, born again. And then history continued. We began to grow. And yet still recognizing that there was an earthly king, a sovereign in Britain. Recognizing that they were citizens of the British Empire, subject to the rules and regulations of King George. And the oppression once again grew. Oh, it was so much more than economic oppression. We focus sometimes in our history books presently on taxation issues, and those were issues, but do we remember that historically the drive had to do with religious liberty? Something that we enjoy today. And so they went through a process in which they determined, are we going to serve an earthly king or a heavenly king? Not everyone, but many of those who decided to separate. That was the foundation. No king but King Jesus was the battle cry, long forgotten today because the American dream has changed, hasn't it? What does it mean today? People coming for the American dream. Originally, those who sought out the American dream, it was because of a dream to be able to honor and recognize Jesus as Lord. Presently, many would think of it, no, it's more to have earthly possessions. That dream has changed. It's less revolutionary, isn't it? But in the world for a period of time, Lady Liberty, holding up that lamp to the golden door of opportunity, was a draw. And people came. It became the first federal immigration entry point. Up until 1890, the individual states determined immigration issues, but things began to change. And millions of people, and I've read anywhere as high as 40% of all of us here today have relatives at some point in our history came in through Ellis Island as immigrants. They came seeking what they perceived as the blessings of citizenship in this new nation. And how they desired those blessings. And to obtain those blessings, they recognized they would come to a new land, different languages, different cultures, even leaving family many times for this hope. And yes, they were willing to take a risk. They were willing to make sacrifices, even to come with very little of their possessions. And because the United States is a sovereign nation, the United States can determine the conditions for becoming a legal immigrant on the road to citizenship and determine here's the conditions to receive the blessings of citizenship. You must meet this criteria. One of them means you must give up all loyalties to past nations. E pluribus unum. Out of many one. All the different backgrounds coming, bringing the past, even enriching the new one with the variety of cultures, but to become one, an American. And the draw was so powerful. The call of Lady Liberty, in many sense, an evangelistic call. The golden door, the portal to a new nation in which you would have liberty, lit up by a lamp. And how important we consider today U.S. citizenship. As much as previous generations, I don't know. Because sometimes we see the original people who found a nation based on principles, generations, it begins to fade. They begin to lose sight of that. It was a unique nation based on principles acknowledging that God is sovereign, the author of liberty. that our rights are inalienable. They are endowed by our Creator, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, different than so many other nations and governments. And the idea was to come to seek out those blessings because they were looked upon as unique and precious. They recognized that they did not come easily. Many people understood the relative young history of the United States. They recognized that indeed it took courage and even the sacrifice of blood to birth this new nation. That there was a rejection of a sovereign king. That people of faith said, we want the liberty to be slaves and servants of God. And that governments were instituted by God to be deacons of righteousness in His hand. And we desire that. And the blessings of being able to associate freely and to work and to dream and to dream of giving to their posterity hope and a better life and liberty to accept it. They understood that they had a responsibility to pass this on. And yet succeeding generations began to lose sight of that. Does it sound familiar? And yet today, so often, we hold up our citizenship as the greatest blessing, or one of the greatest blessings, something worth fighting for. And even presently, we see ongoing battles and struggles as some immigrants come and say, we do not want to renounce loyalty to other nations. In fact, we'll march holding up flags of a variety of nations and say, we demand the blessings of citizenship even though we are not meeting the criteria, and we get so upset about that. Why are you coming here if you're not willing to meet the conditions of citizenship? It's wrong. Why do you demand the blessings of citizenship without meeting the criteria? You are illegal aliens, and we're offended by that. And I'm not making a political commentary, but a sovereign nation has a right to set the criteria. They just do. And we value that so much. And it made me think of what are the blessings of being a citizen of the United States of America? Are they worth holding on to? Were those blessings worth all of the sacrifice people made to come here? Is that the situation still today? All the opportunity, the hope, the liberty, and yes, even the ability to vote, to be a part of government, to be able to help determine what kind of nation we will be, what kind of rulers. People didn't vote for kings, but you could vote for representatives. And I think most people would say those blessings of U.S. citizenship are worth a lot. Citizenship, the blessings that come. What's most important? A nation like the United States with its unique character? How does it compare to an eternal kingdom with a sovereign Lord who is God, Jesus Christ? How is it that sometimes we value more the blessings of citizenship in a nation because we know that nations come and go? We know that the United States of America, even now, is fading. Well, for a lot of reasons, but that's not what I'm focusing on. And as much interest and as much value as we put in the citizenship of the United States of America, as much as Lady Liberty proclaims that the United States of America is the hope of a dark world, it pales into insignificant when we consider the kingdom in which we reside. That does not have geographic borders, does it? But it does have borders. And there are conditions for citizenship in this eternal kingdom, the church, the body of Christ. And the sovereign has set those conditions and set the border. And way beyond the beautiful message of Lady Liberty, this physical metal object that symbolizes so much that is good, even a light. Lighting the way to hope, Jesus Christ is the light. We are the lamps, aren't we? So much more important, the message to come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ than, yes, even our beloved United States of America. No comparison. And how concerned are we about spreading the light of this eternal kingdom compared to the light of liberty that motivates some even to send our military forces around the world to do battle. He calls us as citizens who are blessed when we meet the criteria for entering that kingdom to battle. Because there's something so much more important than even the United States of America and the blessings that we enjoy. And I say that as the patriot, one who has studied and loves the original foundation principles of our nation and saddened about how we have departed that. But that is our nature. You see, a couple thousand years ago, there was a new kingdom. Oh, there had been religious bodies, even God recognized. But a new covenant came in, a new nation. The Lord Jesus Christ established it. And he established it on foundational principles that are God's. One kingdom with the only worthy sovereign, Jesus Christ. And we've looked at the characteristics of those who are citizens in that kingdom in these messages on the Beatitudes. They are the characteristics of faithful citizens of that kingdom. And the message is to everyone, whatever your culture, whatever your background, ye pluribus unum, in a sense, right? Out of all the world, male and female, poor and rich, every socioeconomic group, every culture, calling them to one body, one kingdom, one Lord, taking on the characteristics and the culture of people of faith, giving up and throwing off the old because, as this message said, send your wretched, send your homeless. Send your tempest-tossed. That is a mere shadowy reflection of the message of Jesus. Come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden. Become one. Become a citizen of my kingdom. That means you throw off all other loyalties. That Jesus Christ will be Lord. And as a country, we say, you know, you need to assimilate. And we have ancestors, many of us, and some of you have assimilated. Some of you sitting here have left other nations because of that hope in this world of a better life. And you still have some characteristics that so many of us enjoy of your culture that you share with us. But you have taken on a new language. You may not dress the way you used to. Well, Ryan may. He showed up in a kilt the other day honoring his Irish brave man. You see, there were things that we expected people to come to this nation, that's for them to become part of the fabric of this melting pot and to give up some of that and to become new. Same thing in the Lord's kingdom. He says in these Beatitudes that these are the characteristics. We are poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit? Are we exhibiting and taking on the characteristics of this new kingdom? Do we mourn over our sin? If not, are we becoming part of that new kingdom? We're gentle. We thirst. We hunger for righteousness. We are merciful. We are pure in heart. We're peacemakers. And we're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. If we don't model that, are we modeling our citizenship in the most blessed kingdom, the only eternal kingdom? What's more important to us? As important as our nation is, it becomes, shall I say, almost unimportant to me when I consider my Lord and His kingdom and His message that I am to be that Statue of Liberty, calling people to that golden door. And I don't care what nation. I will share that with you if you are an illegal alien by U.S. rules. Because what's important to me is not so much that you are a citizen of the United States of America, it's that, like me, I want you and others to have the blessings that come with citizenship in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And they are blessings that are, yes, even temporal for this world. There are blessings that we enjoy now, but they transcend any blessings any nation can bestow upon a people because they are eternal blessings as well. And what a privilege to be in that kingdom. Just as so many came through Ellis Island, some were rejected. About 2% were rejected. They did not meet the conditions. And there are people who will not meet the conditions of this new kingdom today. They want to change it. They want to come in on their own terms, and that will not happen. But people came in. Then they were dispersed across the land. You know what they did? They wrote home. There's good news. You must come to this nation. You will not believe the liberty that you have. You will be able to worship as you please. You'll be able to keep the fruits of your own labor. You'll be able to move about and have freedom. Come to this. And yet it's a temporal hope, a temporal blessing that they were calling people to. I'm glad that my ancestors came here. But I'm in a kingdom that makes the blessings of U.S. citizenship just pale into inconsequential. And so I'm calling out, as many of you do, to others. This is the kingdom. This is where you have the real blessings. Do not be involved in loyalty to the world, to the secular world. Do not have a dream of just gaining material blessings and material happiness because it's not there. It fades. There are blessings in citizenship. There are blessings and citizenship in the kingdom. And he shares those with us here. How happy are those in the kingdom? How happy are those who mourn over their sin and their shortcomings? Because they're going to be comforted. And I desire comfort. Do you? Because bad things come into my life, bad things come into the lives of those I love. And I can be comforted by God even through these times that so many of you are comforted right now. And we see it in your life. Oh yes, how nice not to have that challenge. How nice in some ways not to have that loss. How nice it would be if sin had not come and smashed into your life and the lives of those you love. But when you're a citizen of the kingdom of Christ, you shall be comforted if you are growing in the desire to mourn over your loss. Blessed, how happy are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. We, even presently, as citizens of the kingdom of God, possess this earth, and we do it to a dimension that others outside don't even begin to understand the rich blessings that God has given to us. Blessed are those, how happy are those citizens who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. I want to be satisfied. And that blessing comes in the kingdom. Oh, there's contingencies. You see, I have to decide to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That has to be part of the growing characteristic of every citizen. Like some who have come to our country and said, I want all the blessings without any of the obligations. I want all the blessings, but I don't want to meet the criteria. That's not how it works. Those of us who desire these rich blessings, it's tied to these characteristics that come from God Almighty that identify us. You see, I want to receive mercy. I so desire mercy. I am so in need of mercy. I want my loved ones to have mercy. In order for that to happen as a citizen, I have to be merciful. Well, wait a minute. Now that's a different story. I have to be merciful. I just want mercy. I want to see God. When Richard shared that at the Lord's table, they saw God. In one sense, it terrifies me. On the other, I so richly want to see him. And Jesus says, if you see him and know him, you know the Father. And I can know Jesus through this. But he says, you must be pure in heart. If you're not pure in heart, do not expect the blessing to see God. I want to be called the sons of God. So many have been proud to be the son of your parents. I want to be called the sons of God. Well, Kevin, you must be a peacemaker. I want the kingdom of God. Well, Kevin, you better live in such a way that you will at some level suffer persecution because of your commitment to seeking righteousness. I can't flee from that. I can't say, I want to compromise. I want to have enough commitment as a citizen to get the blessings, but I want the least amount of commitment and obligation. I want those blessings. I'm even willing to go through an immersion. But you know what? I still have so much loyalty to the world and to my life in this world. So much focus on my day-to-day living separate and apart from my obligations as a citizen in the kingdom. I'm drawn away from the body, from fellowship with the body, from service and from battle and from warfare and all the obligations that come as being a citizen of this kingdom because I have my life. There was a time when more people in the United States had that commitment to a God who was sovereign. We've lost that as a nation, and we've lost so many of the blessings too. You see, they go hand in hand. When he calls us to be citizens, it's to renounce the world. It's revolutionary. It's a rebirth. It's a total transformation. And yes, it becomes a process. That commitment leading one to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins to come up and walk a new life is the beginning. We celebrate it. And well, we should. But we should not celebrate it as the complete victory. It's the beginning of a walk in which we allow the Lord through our life to transform us into this unique body of people, the citizens of the kingdom, of the church, of the body of Christ. People have wonderful ceremonies when they become citizens. I have a friend who has been over some of those, a member of the church. And all that joy and all the excitement about becoming a U.S. citizen, which is temporary as our nation is, falls into insignificance compared to the day that someone enters the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's the celebration. And then it is a life. The things that we were loyal to, different for all different ages. Our professions, our schooling, our recreational activities, all the things that draw us. He says, that is not what your loyalty to anymore. Your loyalty to a sovereign king, and you have responsibilities. You need to grow and be growing in these characteristics. It needs to be evident. It needs to be that just as people, for better or worse, when they see Americans traveling around the world, they say, they're Americans. Not always a compliment, I guess, from some of those who have traveled a lot. When we go to work, when we go to school, when we're involved in our lives, when we're on social media like Facebook, they should see they're citizens of Jesus Christ. Their king is Jesus Christ. They're different. They dress different. They behave different. They present themselves different. They should not be looking at our lives and our Facebook and other social media and every place we go and say, that doesn't seem consistent for what they proclaim sometimes when they show up at worship. Their loyalties should indicate that Jesus is their Lord. His kingdom is first. And that, yes, they are holding up that light as Lady Liberty does 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, calling people to this temporal nation. He says, you, as citizens of my kingdom, enjoying these blessings that are present and eternal, are the ones to hold up that torch, to be the light. And your first mission is to call people out of that world, regardless of what nation, regardless of their language, the pigmentation of their skin, their culture, their social economic status, how dirty they are from sin, how successful they are. Because we're all poor. We're all part of that huddled mass, hopefully yearning to breathe free. We are all wretched. Who will save a wretch like me? Paul says, thanks be to Jesus Christ. Is all of this worth the blessings? All these things that we need to become mourning, gentle, hungering for thirst, all those things that are not easy. Is it worth? Are the blessings worth it? I want to stand up and say, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come to Jesus. Make that kingdom the priority. Have life. Be comforted. Be called sons of God. Oh, how rich these blessings. How worthy it is for us to become what Jesus wants us to become. To develop all these character traits given to us in the Beatitudes. Because the blessings far outweigh any sacrifice we can make. And proclaiming that message is worth any risk. And people at times considered the risk of maybe getting into a masted ship and sailing across oceans and all those things. They said it's worth it. How much more it is worth to assume and to take risk for the sake of the kingdom of God. To throw away our fear, to be unique, to be that light, and not listen to anyone who would hold us back from proclaiming by our lives, our characteristics, and by interacting in any way we can with those poor, wretched, huddled masses, those people who are tempest-tossed. And that's the basis for so much of what we do and plan to do and need to do. To be where they are so that we can be a lamp. To get them to come here so that we can be a light. Even if it means helping out with some canine adoptions. So that people will come and we will meet them and we will share them. Even if it means being involved in sometimes even recreational activities that we may not even have a love for, an enjoyment for. It may mean all kinds of things in order for us to be there like Liberty in the harbor. We have to be where they can see that lamp, that light in our lives, where they can see hope. If you are not a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we urge you, the blessings are worth the sacrifice and the cost, and there is a cost. Jesus paid it. As a nation was brought in through blood and sacrifice, the eternal kingdom was as well, the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, that we might be reconciled to him. And he gives us the conditions. He's the sovereign. And you either meet him or you don't. It's a decision. And just like the founding principles of a nation have faded, so at times the importance of God's word have faded. But I don't want to do that. I don't think we need to be baptized. I want to do a sinner's prayer. I want to do a lot of other things. He is Lord. He sets the boundaries and he calls. Die to yourself daily. Be born again. Be immersed after you've decided he will be my Lord and I'm giving up all other loyalties, even to family if necessary. And I'm going to come up and be born again, and I'm going to have these blessings in my life as I grow and take on his nature and characteristics. If you have other needs, if you need to recommit to your promise and covenant with Jesus Christ, if you need any help, we have shepherds waiting right now. Come as we try to encourage you in song.